Spotify, you could say, was like more of a free and open platform in terms of like what you could be hearing or stumbling upon or discovering at any given moment.
Okay.
And now what it's kind of slowly shifted into is more homogenous music consumption because they found ways to sort of get people locked into the platform longer through playlists and through algorithms and so on and so forth. They found ways to monetarily cut corners so that they're paying artists less.
Yeah.
Not only through, you know, doing these sort of like floors where if you don't get a certain amount of streams within a year, you make no money. But also on top of that, where if you're not getting a certain amount of engagement, you don't get as much juice or sort of like, you know, promotion in the algorithm. And on top of that, they have that sort of like, you know, discovery program where, you know, if you agree to give away a part of your streaming revenue, they'll further promote your track or make sure that your song gets you know, more play or more exposure than it would have gotten otherwise.
You pay for visibility.
Right, exactly. That should get rolled back. Yeah. And then on top of that, what they're getting ready to do next is like based on the amount of popularity that people are seeing on the platform currently, they're thinking about doing different tier systems in terms of like payment and exposure. So if you're in that higher tier where you're ultra successful and you're a music industry cash cow who makes a lot of money, you're going to see the most algorithmic juice. You're going to see the most success. You're going to see the most money on the platform. And that's just going to further entrench, you know, the hierarchies that are already sort of like established. And that's part of what was so appealing about sort of like getting out there as a musician on the internet in the first place, you know, that you had somebody like Taylor Swift who was, or Tyler, the Creator, who was obscure at one time. And then through the internet and the popularity of their music online sort of like blew up, you know, and sort of like came up out of nowhere. Like if that kind of hierarchy was entrenched in the same way at the start of the internet, you may not have Folklore. You may not have Chromacopia. You may not have whatever. You may have just had a literal continuation of whatever artists were already popular at that time. And any changing of the guard that we saw past that point would have just been sort of like label approved, you know, and that's that.
Yeah.
So Spotify is essentially trying to bring us back to a time when the only new artists and big artists who you're ever going to see are people who are already well established and already sort of like, you know, approved by the labels, and that's that. But, you know, Spotify isn't really doing anything right now other than making sure that, you know, artists and especially smaller artists and more experimental artists get paid less or next to nothing and get as little exposure as possible so that they can then instead lock users into endlessly repetitive playlists that just sort of like feature the same set of sounds or aesthetics over and over and over, and, you know, just like kind of fit into their world like background wallpaper. Or, you know, again, if they are kind of like getting a singular pop hit or song or whatever, it's something that, you know, is very kind of industry groomed.
I wonder if there's some connection here between the music scene, musical subcultures dissolving, and the rise of the streaming economy, where when people might get into politics maybe half a generation ago, they would find like an anarchist zine at a DIY music show. If you can't have that experience where you go to the punk show and you find those anarchist zines, does it maybe make sense that people are now looking for it on the internet?
No, I think it does. And I mean, as much as obviously that was like my experience in terms of like, you know, the local punk show and the anarchist zine and so on and so forth, I mean, I feel like on a free and open internet, the preferable avenue to get people kind of turned on to that is still probably the internet. I mean, you know, look, the local show and the anarchist zine is cool, but you can only print so many copies of the anarchist scene.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And there's only so many people who could fit into the venue at the punk show. And there's only so many people who have time to go to the punk show or even like punk music. You know, and the thing is like, if the end goal is sort of turn people onto a political idea, that's not always going to happen through a song. You know what I mean? Historically speaking, like one of the best places and ways that people have been turned on to some of these class conscious ideas are through labor unions and through unionization. I mean, you know, that's why unions have taken such a hit.
Far,
you know,
far better than going to a punk show.
I mean, we sit here and worry about sort of like, you know, and decry the loss of the basement punk show, which I mean, it's still there, you know, it's still there in some form or fashion. We decry the loss of that when honestly, like the real place for fucking radicalization is the workplace and it's the union, you know? And also there's like been a fragmentation of, you know, sort of like worker consciousness of one another through the gigification of certain jobs, you know, like Uber, Or even, you know, the ways in which things like the music industry have worked for generations now, just treating artists like independent contractors. And, you know, which Chapel Rowan, you know, very much kind of spoke against in her Grammy speech by kind of like advocating for, well, you know, we are kind of employees to these record labels and we're making the millions of dollars. And, you know, as we make them all this money, we don't have any healthcare and we have no support and we have, you know,
employer-based healthcare system.
So as you were kind of like bringing up earlier, there's definitely things that need to be sort of like fixed with the streaming economy. But like primarily there needs to be things that like are rearranged in terms of like artist label relationships. Which is also connected to the streaming economy too, because the major labels are invested to the tune of millions of dollars in Spotify. So, you know, whatever Spotify does that generates them more money or increases their stock or shareholder value also benefits the labels too. You know, so anything that Spotify is doing that saves them money, even if it involves ripping their artists off, they see the benefit of it. You know, so they're happy to sort of go along with whatever ways Spotify is figuring out to screw over.
They can let artists. Spotify squeeze their employees for them.
And the thing is, like, that allows them to pass the buck. It's not like how a lot of people might presume in that, oh, okay, well, I could hypothetically just make, you know, as much money as I possibly want, as long as people just continue to stream it.
You just leave the bot playing.
Like, even if everybody is sort of like streaming your music as much as possible, if there are other artists out there that are streaming larger numbers than you, which there's always going to be, you know, it's like they're actually going to be seeing more of the benefit of that pool of money than you are. You know, so
then, and there are people who literally just arbitrage the cost of electricity with Spotify streams. Like it does exist.
And I know this isn't the case for everybody, but based on some of the things or a lot of the things that I like and I advocate for on my YouTube channel artistically, and the way that I go about like analyzing those things, which maybe is lost on some people because they're either not paying attention or they just fast forward to the end and look at the score, you know, could be lost on people for those reasons. There's a lot of people who I feel like unfortunately have gone at my reviews or gone at me presuming that like my musical tastes and my political interests don't align whatsoever. I know there are a lot of people who that it's true that that is the case for them. They listen to Rage Against the Machine and they're a conservative or whatever.
Paul Ryan, for example.
Paul Ryan, for example. But I guess what I want to make clear is like, that's not the case for me, you know, and frankly, I feel like it's honestly a bit silly, you know, to kind of like go about consuming art in that way, especially as somebody who like has to get up there on a platform and advocate for it. You know what I mean? Like, you know, look, truth be told, like having politics that I agree with isn't necessarily, you know, a guarantee that I'm going to like your music, and having politics that I disagree with isn't necessarily a guarantee that you make bad music or you make music that I don't like. But the thing is, like, you know, if the music that you're making is like pretty good or nominally good or whatever, like, it, you know, at the end of the day, if I think maybe the riffs are pretty good or the production's great or whatever, like if the message wise, if the totality of the album, what it's trying to serve is like, this is a Nazi album. I can't in good conscience get up on YouTube and just be like, you know, look, guys, like, I know this is a Nazi album, but like, the music's really fucking sick, you know? It's so rad.
The new Death in June is great, everybody. Go listen.
It's like, look, the guy may be advocating for like gassing the Jews, but you really got to hear these vocals. They're so killer. They're so great. The guitar work, it's going to blow your mind, you know, even though they're advocating for a racial caste system. I mean, you know, put that to the side.